This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks, Ioannis. Good seeing you. That stupid little video that you made firing everybody up saying, oh, look, I'm coming back. All my doubters are good. I'm going to prove my doubters wrong. This is me working out. Yeah, you lasted all of, what, 10 games, and then you split. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing well, Gio. Seems like you're all fired up coming back from vacation. You got a nice tan. You're looking good.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I do feel like I achieved a bit of a good tan in that time off.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And I'm sure you have some stories for us that we can't wait to hear. You know, this whole thing about Cespedes, you know, I didn't think he was dead. It sounds like something Jerry would say. You know, I figured he quit on the team. I figured he was either at a strip club or he quit at a team or whatever, but it wasn't that he I don't see him being a drug user or any of that stuff. He's too healthy physically. Forget the heels. But mentally, boy, is he just absolutely nuts. And this is why he's been on so many teams for so many years. This is why the way this ends here now for the Mets is a disgrace on his part. Not on the Mets' part, because the Mets gave him a four-year deal. He was supposed to live up to that deal. He did not live up to that deal. We will never see him in another Mets uniform again. This guy is basically, as you call him, he is the ultimate hamster on the hamster wheel of...
turds.
Right,
yes, that's
okay.
Right.
I mean, he is the worst, and this is why... Like I said, he was on so many teams, got traded, and then accepted that four-year deal from the Mets because he knew he wasn't going to get one from somebody else. So this is just, you know, it's par for the course for him. And, you know, and I'm sick and tired of hearing people saying, oh, it's the dysfunctional Mets, the dysfunction. It's not the Mets. It's the player that's dysfunctional. And he has been. I mean, here's a guy who basically comes off of two different heel surgeries and is, you know, being chased by a boar on his freaking farm. It doesn't get any more ridiculous than that. So I'm sorry that it happened to the Mets. The Mets are my team. I'm more concerned about their lack of clutch hitting. I'm more concerned about their rotation. And I think they're a better team without Ioannis, actually. I think he is one big, ginormous distraction. Puts a lot of pressure on a rookie manager, puts a lot of pressure on everybody in that locker room. They could sit here and tell me that he's the greatest guy in the locker room. He's so much fun to be around. You know, he's not fun to be around when he's bitching and complaining about not playing. And, you know, and Luis Rojas, by the way, you know, has a completely legitimate excuse for not playing him in a game because of a long bus ride. And it makes sense, you know, give the guy a night off. And even though he doesn't want a night off, but the fact of the matter is, he's been striking out regularly. He needs a night off. So the fact that he left in the middle of the day or the night or whenever it was does not surprise me. And, you know, quite frankly, good riddance. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
Yeah, I'm tired of it too.
These are problem guys, you know.
Right.
And I hate to say it, Jamal Adams was a problem guy. You know, Odell Beckham Jr. was a problem guy. Ioannis Cespedes is a problem guy. You got to get them out of the locker room.
Yeah, so the one thing, and I'm totally with you on the everybody's trying to crush the Mets for this. The one thing that they could have done differently with that statement, I think, was to leave out the sentence, our attempts to contact him have been unsuccessful. Because that is the thing where people just went off the deep end. Now, it's not their fault that they went off the deep end, but when you leave it, you know, that wide open to our attempts to contact him have been unsuccessful, that people are like, oh, man, they're trying to call him. They don't know where he is. Who knows what happened?
Isn't that the truth, though?
Theories were out there at that point. And I think that, you know, when they put As of game time, he had not reported to the ballpark. He did not reach out to manager with any explanation of his absence. You know, I saw one tweet from Mark Carrig, who covers the Mets, that said either one of two things happened. They put out a statement without checking on his well-being, which you can't do, or they put out a statement to shame him. If they put out a statement to shame him, good. Shame his ass, for crying out loud. I mean, we've been dealing with shame as Mets fans for I don't know how long. Shame his ass. And why is anybody needing to protect him? I mean, this is a guy who does not care about winning, didn't care about winning prior to any of his injuries, that's for sure, and certainly hasn't afterwards, because all the guy wants to do is golf and be on his ranch and somehow find a way to make money without playing. So what if they put out a statement to shame him? Hey, what has he done for the Mets since 2015? 16, he was okay. He hasn't done anything. 17, 18, 19, 20. All he's been is one big embarrassing headline for the organization, and then he doesn't show up and doesn't tell anybody about it, and then it's a problem that the Mets put out a statement to make him look foolish. He did that to himself.
And by the way, who represented him during that four-year contract?
Brody Van Wagenen.
All right,
yes.
So, you know, here's the thing. Did you listen to Brody's post-game press
conference?
I watched
the whole thing, the whole Zoom call.
Did you hear the stupid questions that were being asked?
Yeah, just one after another, in a different way, like, they're asking the same question.
This is why, like, you know, you're a manager, you're a general manager, you're somebody around here, you got to listen, and this is why I also love the fact that we get to listen in now, because now you hear the stupid question after stupid question after stupid question, and it's just like, hey, we told you we couldn't find him. We were transparent. We did not know where he was. His agent didn't contact us. He didn't contact us. We sent him text messages. He did not respond. Luis Rojas sent him text messages. He didn't respond. What the hell are we supposed to tell you? You know, and the fact that, like, some writers somewhere now jump to conclusions that maybe he's dead or maybe he's holed up in some crack den. I don't, you know, I mean, who knows? I mean, the writers are the ones that jump to the conclusions, not the Mets. And the Mets, you know,
second statement right now. Yoenis is not holed up in a crack den.
Right.
Okay,
so,
that,
you know,
we
know. The point being is that, you know, it's so idiotic that the Mets basically put out a press release basically saying, hey, look, man, we just don't know where he is. He's not responding to us. We sent people to his rooms. He's not there. And if he can't respond to us, then we can't give you an idea of where he is. They told you the truth, and they were transparent. I actually felt bad for Brody, because Brody was his agent. Brody was the one that got him this contract, and Brody was the one that believed in him and trying to bring him back. You know, and this is how this absolute unstable guy reacts and treats the people that are trying to help him, trying to give him an opportunity. I mean, this is his opportunity to show that he could still play, and then if he is a free agent, maybe get another big contract from some other stupid club. But, you know, when you compare this, to the Met world, it's not the Met world. I mean, the only problem with this is the Mets did sign him.
Well, no, it's more, you know what it is, though? The reason why the reaction is, and then what I said about it can only happen to them, it's because the fans are embarrassed again by another one of these things. Because the baseball world looks, the Mets, this is happening to the Mets again. And yeah, when you dive deep into it, it's Yoenis Cespedes acting like a baby and leaving because things weren't going. I agree. But it's just another one of these. Same thing with the wild boar. It's just another embarrassing thing that happens, and then people can point and laugh, but now he's gone. And by the way, if the Mets hadn't put out a statement, how many people would have done an about-face in the Mets beat that would have said, how could you not let anybody know where Yoenis Cespedes is?
Why are you hiding it?
The Mets PR staff. Like, and they have ganged up on the Mets PR team, these beat writers. Like, they put out all these tweets, like, the Mets PR team ended the Zoom session early. The Mets PR team decided to do the Mets PR team. Just stop. If they didn't put out the statement yesterday, the tweets would have been, the Mets PR team attempted to hide the Yoenis Cespedes story from us, and, like, we weren't going to find out. What exactly would you like them to do in this situation when a player decides to quit and not tell anybody and then leave?
That's the word right there. Quit.
There's a playbook for that. There's an organizational playbook for the guy who disappears in the middle of the night and is allowed to because of a pandemic and then doesn't inform anybody about it. Like, come on. please.
You know, you're right, though, but he quit on his team. And then to hide behind the COVID-19 opt-out and everything else, it's just, it's a total bunch of crap. Oh, I have a family member that is, you know, that's got an issue. Well, you're not even near that family member. You know, you're on the road with your team and everything else, and this is just an easy way to say, you know, be a baby about everything and just take off. So they're better. I'm just telling you, they're a better team.
Well, I mean, this season for them is,
I mean, it's not over yet, but I'm just saying. I know.
3-7, and they're just not. They can't score runs. It's just like stop.
Well, Friday night was awful. Friday night was like, again, you know, a third time in the season already where it's a game that they need to win and they don't win. But meanwhile, I'll tell you, with the commissioner threatening to shut down Major League Baseball because of the players' actions away from the stadiums, away from the field, it's pretty telling. You know, it's basically he's putting it on the players now. He goes, look, man, we are doing everything we possibly can at our stadiums, when you're traveling and everything else. If you are going to break protocols and you're going to put yourself and your team in a bad situation, we'll just shut the whole thing down. And I can tell you right now, there is one team that does not want anything shut down that is acting appropriately and doing everything they possibly can to play great baseball, and that is the New York Yankees.
Yep, and last night, another one of these examples of how even when it's an off night for their starting pitcher, as they go into the bullpen, they're still giving up home runs to Rafael Devers, that it's just not over for them. And they won't quit, and they're going to somehow win the game, and Aaron Judge is as locked in as you could possibly. You know, it really is a shame that he doesn't get a full 162 games when he's hitting like this, because he might hit 80 homers.
Yeah, but he might only play 100 games.
Yeah, I understand. With his history, you're right. Yes. But, I mean, my Lord. I mean, now it's five straight games, two home runs last night, the game-winning one. He is as locked in as I remember seeing him, quite frankly, in a very long time. So hopefully that keeps up. But you're right. I mean, they don't want this thing shut down. I mean, just like LeBron James, prior to everything that was going on in the NBA and their restart, was making sure that everybody, you know, he was in the shadows, I think, you know, texting everybody, you get here, you don't opt out, we're figuring this out, do whatever you can because I want to win a championship. And the Yankees are going to do that as well. And that's the thing, too, when you're a team like the Marlins, and I know the Cardinals have been going through it now a little bit, too, when you're a team like the Marlins, you think they even really care, like, if the season gets shut down or not? I mean, that's a team that had no shot anyway. I'm sure getting paid is an issue for everybody, but, I mean, that's why, you know, a team like the Yankees, a team like the Dodgers, they're going to be hand sanitizer around every corner because they want to make sure that this thing keeps on rolling because they're kicking ass.
And the Braves could wish they played the Mets all the time.
Oh,
you know,
Jesus,
it's unbelievable how many games the Mets should have won against the Braves already this year in six games, or I think it's six games they played them, or maybe five games, but it's really disappointing. But again, like I think, and I know that Yoenis Cespedes, when healthy, is a huge presence in the lineup. I know that when Jamal Adams's mind is right, he's a huge presence on the defense for the New York Jets. But you know what? The guys don't want to be here. They act like babies. They're selfish. They're not about the team. They're all about themselves. You know, all of a sudden there's a harmony that takes over a locker room, and there's just a ginormous PIA taken out of that locker room. And you will not see guys tweeting, hey, good luck, Yoenis, we understand why you left us, and all. You won't see any of that stuff. Just like you didn't see any of the support for Jamal Adams. So it's good riddance to both players, and I think the teams are going to be end up being better for it, especially the Mets, because the Mets have plenty of players. They have plenty of guys that can play left field. They have plenty of guys that can be DHs. This is good for Dom Smith. This is good for Mariznick. This is good for J.D. Davis. All those guys will get more at-bats now. They'll all be happy. The team will be back together again. Hopefully that team will be back together again like it was last year. The problem with them is that right now their relief pitching stinks and their starting pitching, Jacob DeGrom stinks. Basically,
and they can't score runs. So
they can't get the key hits. Now, I don't know if you saw any of this. I have to say, both the NHL and the NBA, and watching these games, these guys are playing their asses off. They mm-hmm. are playing their asses off. And the hockey this weekend was incredible, as was the NBA. I mean, back and forth, these teams are playing hard. Nobody's joking around. It's not like exhibition. It's like the real thing, and you can feel it.
It's like the playoffs. I mean, basically, the NHL, it's what we're talking about. So, yeah, I would hope so.
Well, I feel the same way. Like, you know, with the Nets winning yesterday and beating Washington is like,
yeah.
I believe it or not, I watched about 10 minutes of this game, and I'm like, this is like, wow. You know, you know, who would have expected it, especially with their big stars and their, you know, $90 million sitting on the bench? You know, give credit to where credit is due to guys that are busting their ass and trying to play and trying to win. And they actually surprised the Washington Wizards. And you know, Wizards got injuries and all that stuff as well. And as at the end of the day, if the Nets make the playoffs and they get into one round and they lose one round, hey, God bless them, man. Good for them.
None of what's happening with the Nets right now really matters.
I know.
It just, you know, you think about next year and all the changes that they will have. I mean, basically, it's like, don't get anybody else hurt that means something to the team that's going to be out for next year if it ends up being somewhat of a normal season. So, yeah, good for them. You didn't want to see them fold, that's for sure. You don't want to see them go out there and say, all right, everybody's hurt or sick and we're just going to fold and lay down. That's not the case. But... you know, you've got a couple of New York hockey teams where, you know, one got off to a good start and the other did not.
Yeah, I know. I'm not very happy about that. As a matter of fact, I was, you know, it was kind of weird, you know, because you want your one of your greatest goaltenders of all time to see if he can find the magic. And for the most part, Henrik played pretty good. I mean, he made probably about six or seven unbelievable saves, but you know, given a goal up on the first shot of the game was just like, oh, here we go. And then Jesper Fast getting knocked out by Brady Shea, former Ranger, and all that other stuff. The game was physical, the game was nasty. It kind of got the playoffs off on a good foot because all the games after that game were just as intense, if not more intense in some cases. There were fights, there were penalties, way too many penalties. The Rangers penalty power play was not good at all. Everybody knows that. I think the Rangers know that. But the thing that people don't realize about Henrik and when Shesterkin is playing, Shesterkin activates the offense from his goal mouth, meaning that he can handle the puck, that most of the time when the puck comes to him, he'll move it and he'll get it out, and he's almost like a third defenseman back there. Not as good as Marty Brodeur, but just like Marty Brodeur was for all those great Devil teams. You put the puck on his stick, he's getting it out, and he's moving it up, and he's activating offense for a team that really relied more on defense. But the goalie was like the third defenseman. Henrik does not handle the puck well. He does not throw it the way that or where he needs to throw it sometimes. Matter of fact, he'll just throw it to the other team in their zone, and then all of a sudden, the Rangers are hemmed in. So as much as I appreciate everything Henrik has done for this team, he doesn't have John Tortorella as a coach. John Tortorella as a coach for Henrik had guys blocking shots, packing it in, just like they did last night against the Maple Leafs. You know, they're undermanned, but yet they play a certain style that makes it very difficult to play against them. And that's the Rangers were like that under Tortorella. Then they were more open under Vigneault. They're more open under Quinn. Therefore, the goalie has got to be able to activate the offense. And, you know, they didn't lose because of him, but they also their offense is stagnant, I think, sometimes because they get hemmed up in their own zone. And it's just one of those little things that a lot of people don't talk about, but it's a big key when you have a guy that can handle the puck. Now, whether Shesterkin is playing today, I don't know. And this is like really bizarre that, you know, he plays against the Islanders in the preseason game, and then all of a sudden he's unfit to play. You know, I don't know what the hell that means. And he's up in the stands with a mask on and everything else. So he doesn't have COVID-19. He's out on the practice ice with the team. I don't know. Did he tweak something? Which is not a good sign either because,
well,
you know,
I mean, if he tweaks something, don't they need to say that? It's either upper body, lower body, whatever the hell they do.
No, they're not saying that. They're saying unfit to play. That's all they're saying in the NHL right now. So I would hope that he plays. But then again, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, I know that David Quinn was talking about having the respect for Hank and all that Hank has done. You know, Hank has done a lot, but there's a rebuild going on, and there's a great young goaltender. And if he's healthy, he's got to play. He's just got to play. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you because I think a couple things that happened early in this game took the game away from them. Now, for the Islanders, I watched that game too. The Islanders were great. They smothered the Florida Panthers. And the thing about watching that game is that, you know, and I'm biased because of my son-in-law, but I thought having Casey, Cal, and Matt back together on the ice.
And healthy, which you hadn't seen barely all year.
It changes things, especially if you have a soft defense. if you have a soft defense like Florida has, you know, Keith Yandel, Strawman, we know these guys because they played here for the Rangers. They're good players, but they're not physical players. If you can just intimidate them any bit in their own zone, now all of a sudden you're doing to them what you need to do, and that's keeping their top line in their own zone. And you're playing defense kind of with your offense and your forecheck, which is what Matt and Casey and I thought Cal did for long stretches of time throughout the game. And even in the third period when Trotz put him out there late in the game, they did a good job in that regard. So that's Islander hockey in a nutshell. It's a defense. It's in your face. It's experienced players. And then you got the youngsters for the Rangers with an older goalie that doesn't activate the offense. And hopefully the Rangers will turn it around today. And if they get as many penalties against the Hurricanes, hopefully they'll score a freaking power play goal or two.
All right, we got the Mets and Cespedes, the Yankees continuing to roll, hockey and basketball. Jerry's going to give you all the stuff coming up in just a couple of minutes. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, CBS Sports Network and Radio.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.